Great. Thank you, everyone. I am Thibaut, pronouns are he, him. I'm a developer and consultant based in UK. Just want to say a quick thank you to my partner who is looking after our kids while I get to be here with you. So thank you, Deborah. I couldn't be here if you couldn't make that happen. And yes, ATAG. Whoever knows what that means, it's a big topic, and I'm really happy that so few people know about it and yet are in the room, because it's a daunting acronym, but certainly very valuable for us to be more aware of. And audits feels like a bit of a dirty word to me in the accessibility world, to be honest. We're here to share examples of best practices. We're here to talk about testing, things to try out. The audits, like, we'll get to the corporate side of accessibility later. And so, yes, why are we here? I thought I'd start with a number. 95.9%, that's how many of the home pages on the web have accessibility issues, according to the Web iMillion project. That's how the number evolves over time. As you can see, it's definitely trending down. Trends pretty clear. By 2050, maybe the 2100s will be good. But yeah, this is a big, big problem. Those accessibility issues, they are only the ones that we can find with automated tools. They don't even include the ones that you can find with manual testing. So this is just plain unacceptable. And yes, accessibility standards, such as ATAG, among many other standards, I think will help us address this. So just in terms of standards, you might have heard about WCAG or WCHD. That's the most common, commonly referred to standard that lots of the legal frameworks out there are based on. It's about making websites accessible. ATAG is the authoring tool accessibility guidelines. So it's how you create better tools for people to create content that matches WCAG recommendations. I hope that makes sense. Lots of other ones. Skip for today. So why do we need authoring tools? Super simple. People just don't write HTML by hand these days. They use social media platforms. They use their online blog that might have a WYSIWYG editor. Maybe they write HTML, but nonetheless, they'll have a framework around it. They'll have some linting tools, perhaps. So all of those tools that help people create the content, whether it's web pages or videos or live stream even, all those tools, there is a big, big opportunity for us to make them better at creating accessible content. And so again, accessible is for the benefits of the users of this content, but the authoring tools need them to be accessible as well for the benefits of people who create the content, the authors. And yeah, a big concept that I won't touch on, but I wanted to highlight, is accessible defaults. So the idea that all of those tools, the default experience, without you making too much of an effort, should be the most accessible one. And then you can compromise if you want, but ideally the tool should promote accessible defaults. So yeah, the standard ATAG, I'll glance over the wording. It is a pretty big document. There are a lot of guidelines within it, and yeah, for today, it's just like too many to fit on the screen, so, you know, we'll just go back to the very high level list. So put that back in, yeah. And all I care about really is the framework, the mental mindset of ATAG is part A and part B. Part A is the authoring tool, whether it's a CMS or social media posting tool, should be accessible, and part B is it should support production of accessible content. And we'll be looking through all sorts of examples that help in both cases. Just to make it super clear, this is a screenshot of a CMS. This is the content that part B is about making more accessible. And part A is about all this interface to the left making that interface accessible. So yeah, we'll look at part A. And part A, to be completely honest, a lot of it is just follow the WCAG standard for the web app that is your authoring tool. So I only highlighted a few specific things that I think are interesting. We talked a fair bit about alt text today. There is quite a bit in WCAG about alt text and in ATAG as well. And I thought it would be interesting to highlight how important it is when we discuss decorative images inside an authoring tool, inside a CMS. All of the images are important because you don't know what they're going to be used for. So in there, actually, it's much better if all images ever have quite lengthy descriptions so people who manage the content can pick and choose as needed. Autosave, I don't know here who likes or doesn't like autosave, how much control you want to have over where your data is sent over. It's actually an ATAG requirement. It's not necessarily strictly autosave. If there's no time limit to you being able to make your changes, that's okay as well, but yeah, quite interesting. I'll skip over the other ones, except for the very last, which is documentation. Documenting the features in your authoring tool, that sounds super obvious, but is often forgotten. And personally, I definitely feel emboldened to ask my colleagues to work on documentation or do so myself, if the rules say so, basically. And in the case of something like a CMS, it's worth mentioning, it's both docs for the devs who set up the websites, but also docs for people who spend their time in CMS. And so, yeah, that's part A. Part A, very short and sweet, and part B, we look at many more examples. So I thought I'd start us with B.1, fully automatic processes produce accessible content. What a mouthful. And all it means is when there is some processing behind the scenes that makes the HTML that people will actually consume, that process makes accessible HTML. So I thought I'd show an example of Google Forms. You can use Google Forms to build web forms with arbitrary fields. It's a very simple drag-and-drop interface where you configure the type of the fields and how they are set up. And there's a very simple problem with it, which is that this email field and this what is your name field, neither of these in Google Form, I can't define, oh, this is email, oh, this is the person's name, so that person gets to auto-fill those fields. So super basic feature of the web, being able to auto-complete a field on demand if you've already entered your data in the browser. And Google Forms doesn't support that. I don't know if there may be some privacy reasons not to do this, but definitely as far as ATAG, that is the kind of problem we want to address, the fact that those tools don't fully support making something as accessible as possible. Second one that I really like, oh, this is a very small image. Okay, sorry about that. So we're inside Mastodon, the social media platform, and over the left here we have a post editor. And that post, I added an image. I don't really know if you can see, but there's a little warning sign here that says warning alt. That means I haven't added alt text to that image yet. Obviously, being able to add alt text to the image, that just having that supported, that is essential. But the tool reminding you that it's a problem that there is no alt text, music to my ears. And it's exactly what this specific weak ATAG criteria is about, facilitating the creation of alt text. And in this case, Mastodon people, I've reviewed like lots of social media platforms, they go above and beyond, because in addition to having that reminder, the field that they offer, they also have this detect text from picture feature right underneath. You can imagine how often people on social media put content images that have text on them and don't necessarily take the time to write that down. Well, that saves quite a bit of time and helps people who consume that content have this alt text, which is essential. Something else I want to highlight is another example from a completely different universe. Assist authors with accessible templates. Again, like not necessarily the clearest what it means, but if you spend time interpreting this, it means that whenever an authoring tool, like maybe a framework, comes with built-in components, maybe a CMS comes with built-in types of block content that you combine on the page, those ready-made templates are accessible, or at least you're assisted in knowing how accessible they are. So there's quite a few detailed guidelines within that kind of umbrella of B2.4. But I wanted to share an example of something that WordPress does, where WordPress as a CMS, they support themes for the websites. And those themes in the kind of theme shop, there's 109 themes here that are all tagged accessibility ready. That's exactly what you want to see. So I think it's really interesting because the WordPress marketplace isn't really an authoring tool in its own right, but it definitely has a place in the kind of journey towards someone creating accessible content with ready-made templates. So they don't put this arbitrarily. They have the accessibility team for WordPress review those themes as needed and tag accordingly to their best knowledge. And they're the only project I'm aware of that does this. Maybe some others do out there. It's really cool. So another example, one of my favorite rules out there by far. I believe this specific tool we're showing in the screenshot here, Sally, that has been mentioned by Mike Gifford earlier today. We're looking at assist authors in checking for accessibility problems. So it's this idea that, again, we've seen the web I million number. There are a lot of tools out there that can give you automated feedback on your content. And that's exactly what ATAG says should be embedded within each and every authoring tool. I can't stress enough how amazing it would be if any single web framework, any single static site generator, any single CMS had this kind of automated checks built in. Like, the web would just get so much more accessible in one go. And yeah, this specific one, so Sally, we're looking at it on a blog page here. It's kind of a little browser widget in the bottom right. And when you turn it on, it tells you, oh, okay, I have one error and four warnings on that page. Here we're showing the highlight of one specific error. And we're showing the alt text for things that might require manual verification by a human. And yeah, super simple to integrate this on any site, by the way. So definitely worth considering. So moving on to one other of my favorites, assist authors in repairing accessibility problems. Be free too. And yeah, again, quite a mouthful, but it's kind of the next thing over. Once you've identified those issues with the content, well, what can you do? You can help people in fixing them. And you can actually introduce some automation to make that simpler. So in this specific case, we're looking at alt text, where, again, Mike mentioned quite a few issues. And just like Mike, I spent some time looking at sites built with this specific CMS I'm contributing to, assessing how the alt text on those sites, how good it is. And so the bar on the left on each side here, that's the real-world alt text from about 500 pages. And that's the score that the accessibility team for Wagtail, that CMS, gave to this alt text. So on average, basically, our team rated the existing alt text out there in the world quite low. And what's really interesting when it comes to repairing this is we can detect quite often whether the alt text is good or not, whether it contains a file name. And again, like AI, quite a big buzzword, lots of things that I wouldn't necessarily agree with here. But for alt text, it is, in my mind, undeniable that it is better than the existing content out there. I definitely think that humans have a big part to play here. They could still write much better alt text if they were given infinite training and time. But what we can do instead of relying on AI to write all of the alt text is give the alt text that the AI writes that scores quite high, give that to humans, and then let humans decide, okay, is it good? Can I be improving it? And it just makes for a faster process that has better results. So just to make it clear like how that would work in practice, now we're looking inside this CMS, Wagtail, to one of our latest designs that we've not implemented yet. We're looking inside an image upload feature where I've just dropped a new image onto my webpage. And it's going to pre-fill the title from the file name because, sure, that might be a good indication of what it's about. And this description field here is what people will be able to set for the alt text collaboratively with AI. So in this case, we've decided to never pre-fill that field. We've decided to give the user three different options to choose from that are generated by the AI, and they can decide to use any one of them and then edit the field or generate new suggestions. Again, like, this is all quite easily aligned with ATAG, so I find it really interesting that standards written so many years ago had in mind this kind of interaction. Okay. We have about 10 minutes left. I'll try to end early so we have time to change over the dev rooms. But I definitely wanted you to leave you with some resources to get started, and we'll have time for questions right after this in the room. So getting started with ATAG, again, it's quite a daunting acronym, so definitely I'm hoping the examples I've shown so far, they're kind of my highlights of the best bits of ATAG you should consider reusing. But if you did want to do a proper audit, this is where I would start. So step one, definitely, if you have a clear list of features in the tool you're testing, that's super important, because then you know what to test. Step two, having a good demo of those features. So what I've often found is some of the more niche aspects of our CMS, find it quite hard to figure out where to access them, and it takes quite a bit of time, you know, to be able to do this kind of testing if I don't have a good demo really available. So I'm part of the accessibility team for Django, as an example, creating a better demo site for Django, for the Django admin. That's something that's, in my mind, essential and worth the investment. Some knowledge of ATAG. I definitely don't want to make it sound like you have to read through the whole thing. I think just the highlights I mentioned is a great place to start. And then having an idea of how to report or keep tabs on your findings. So I spent quite a bit of time ahead of this talk setting up a GitHub Projects template. Don't know here who might have heard of GitHub Projects. It's something they've built on top of GitHub Issues. And GitHub Projects supports custom fields that are very convenient for this type of very specialized work. So I've spent about an hour of my day setting up those two fields to keep tabs of all of the WCAG guidelines and all of the ATAG guidelines, so you can add things straight to your backlog and tag them per which aspect of ATAG is about. Again, like, you know, it's quite a specialist tool, but definitely just click this and you get to try it out and see if it works for you or not. And for people who don't really like GitHub, I also put together a markdown template. It's a very big markdown file, so it works well, but yeah, a bit harder to adopt. Okay, another quick and easy way to get started. So we're looking at a screenshot of the ATAG report tool that was put together by the W3C Web Accessibility Initiative. It's essentially some kind of a form wizard that talks you through all of the ATAG guidelines one by one and helps you fill in the results of your testing. So this would be really useful if you wanted to do the full audit. But even without that, I think it's interesting to look at and see if there might be specific areas within which that are worth you completing. I wish they did more out of this. They put this together 5 years ago or so, and it works really well, but I just wish it was better, you know, better showcased. And yeah, so when I say I wish they invested more time into this, if you've gone through the reporting tool, the next thing you want to do after is share your report, and I definitely want to see more reports of ATAG audits out there. And they set up this authoring tools list to do that, where people who took the time to report on the accessibility of their CMS or rich text editor or web framework, they are showcased on the W3C website. And right now we only have 5 such authoring tools showcased, because it does take quite a bit of work to put those audits together. But if you did invest into this, for sure come talk to me, I'll help you out. And consider whether you can submit your report to this site as well. So yeah, just to end, going beyond those standards, if you ever feel like even ATAG isn't enough for you, I would recommend you look at these two that are attempts at, again, standardizing this kind of increasing of the baseline of accessibility. But the accessibility guidelines, they touch on quite a lot of aspects of what this DevRoom is about, and accessibility maturity model, that's kind of organizational level, where are the gaps, what we should do. I'll leave these there for you to consider. And yeah, that's me, and I believe we have about 4 minutes for questions. Thank you. Go for it.
You mentioned the W3C report tool. Do you know any other free tool that's allowed to make EN301549 reports? Not only WCAG, but...
No. Well, there is one. There is.
Doing a benchmark for my work, so I...
So for EN, I forget the European Standard for Accessibility, that's based on WCAG but does beyond, there is something called OpenACR that is set up by the US government GSA, and that's meant to help you create reports for Section 508 or for the European Standard, and they come with the OpenACR editor. Hope that helps.
Something I have missed at the beginning, but a problem. I have a problem of visual for the short little characters.
Mm-hmm.
And when, so in webs- many websites, when I push Control Plus in Firefox, the text is going out the screen. I think a thing like that must be can sort. It's not normal to have this kind of thing.
Yep.
You have press, you have not that kind of thing, and so on. So
yep.
It's important to have an international normalization.
Yep. That's covered in the WCAG standard, and that's also covered in ASAG as far as this issue happening in the authoring tools themselves. Yep. Any more questions? Great. Well, thank you. I'll hand over to Sarah to say a quick goodbye, and then we'll hand over to the open source design dev room.